Okay, two shailas for this week. One shaila, neither of them came. One of them came up over Simchas Torah, and one of them came up before Sukkos. So we'll start with we'll go in chronological order. I got a call from a Talmud of mine, an old Talmud from Lander College, and he and his wife have been married for about a year now, and they've been so busy with life and getting going, and they haven't had an opportunity to take any time off and spend some time together, and nor did they have the money really to go on vacation or to take any trips anywhere. So they've been saving up credit card miles and points, and you know, keeping all the Dan's deals and whatever. They've been figuring things out, and they finally saved up enough points, enough miles to buy themselves a nice trip. And he bought two tickets for them to go to Hawaii, and they were going to leave on the first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos and stay there through Shabbos and the last days of Yontif, and come back after Yontif from Hawaii. So he was telling, and they found an island that has a Chabad, so there's a sukkah there, and they weren't going to be sacrificing too much. And he was telling a friend of his about this, and the friend said, "What are you doing about the international dateline?" And he said, "The international what?" He had never heard of the international dateline. He had never heard that there's some suffix about what day is actually Shabbos or Yontif in Hawaii. So he went to his current Rebbe in Yeshiva, Rabbi Shmuel Marcus, and he asked what he should do. And Marcus said, "I'm not touching this one with a 10-foot pole. I'm not passing the international dateline." So he went to the Rashiva, Rav Yonason Sacks, and he asked him what he should do. And Rav Yonason Sacks said, "If you were my Talmud, I would tell you to cancel your trip. But you're not my Talmud, so I give you permission to not listen to my psak. Go call your Rebbe." So he called me. So he said, "Okay, Rabbi Sacks said I should call you. So thanks a lot, Rabbi Sacks. But now I have to, he needs to know what to do. Do I tell him to cancel his trip? Do I tell him to..." And think about this. It's Shabbos Chol HaMoed plus 2 days Yontif. It means he's going to be observing 5 days of Kodesh if he's going to... I mean, that puts a damper on a vacation a little bit. So that was shaila number one. How do we handle that case? Shaila number two. There is a minhag since I am a teenager, probably since before I was a teenager, in the five towns, that there is some location where all the teenagers know to gather on Simchas Torah night, late into the night, and they just all hang out and socialize and do all sorts of mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim in a specific location. So it used to be, when I was a kid, it used to be in Beth Shalom, and then it moved to an area called the Triangle, for those who are familiar with the area, and now it's outside of DRS. Whatever it is, I don't know how, when they change locations, I don't know how they send out a memo that somehow gets disseminated to everybody, that everybody finds out. But that's what happens. So you have hundreds and hundreds of teenagers hanging out and doing what teenagers do sometimes, especially when these are teenagers that are not inside shul at the hakafos, meaning these are teenagers who made a conscious decision not to be at davening at the hakafah. So obviously you're not dealing with the upper echelon of religiosity in terms of talmidim and talmidot, and therefore there's sometimes, if you could imagine, a little bit of drinking and cell phone usage and smoking and things of this nature, maybe some boy-girl interactions that are not exactly on the up and up, you know, not exactly what the Ribbono Shel Olam would have in mind for a proper shidduch, you know. So what also happens is it becomes very disruptive to the neighbors, because wherever it is, whatever location they choose, that location can't contain them. And there's spillover. And even if it can't contain them, some dafka want to go to a quieter place. They don't want to be among 200, 300 people. They'd rather go to a quieter place. So the neighbors end up with a bunch of kids on their lawn, and sometimes leaving garbage there, sometimes doing indecent things on their lawn, things they don't want their children to see on their lawn. So what are you going to do? You're a neighbor, right? So this guy told me, he's a neighbor of this scene, and he's seeing all these kids hanging out on his lawn, and you know, he's a frum guy. He and his wife are very religious people. They don't want this going on. So what's he going to do? He's going to come out with his undershirt and start screaming with a baseball bat, "Get off my lawn!" You know, he doesn't want to do that. He's not interested in doing that. So it occurred to him, his housekeeper was home. Why can't he just ask her to turn on the sprinklers and sprinkle them away, and then they'll leave the property? To which I immediately responded by texting Rabbi Kamenetsky, turn on the sprinklers in DRS next year. That will get rid of the whole thing outside of... Okay, but anyway, so his shaila was, is he, after the fact, he didn't ask me the shaila at the time, his shaila after the fact is he allowed on Yontif to ask his housekeeper to turn on the sprinklers in order to disperse the teenagers. Good, so these are our two shailas. We have the shaila about the fellow who wants to take a vacation with his wife in the international dateline territory, and the shaila about turning on the sprinklers on Yontif in order to chase away Jewish children. So what's our preference?
One, two.
We're getting more twos than ones. Okay. Dr. Wasserman, you know.
Two.
Two? Okay. All right. What?
Can we have the Pesach on one also?
The Pesach on one is, it's not such a clear Pesach, it's kind of complicated. But, okay, you know, I did commit to the last 30 seconds, if I don't get to one, which I probably won't, to at least give like a quick bottom line. So let's start with two, though. So first of all, what malacha is this, to turn on the sprinklers on Shabbos Yantiv? It's a malacha of some sort. What malacha is it? What's the most logical choice? Zoreya, right? So they used to, what were Zoreya done in the Mishkan? They used to plant plants to produce the dyes that were used in the Mishkan. There was a lot that was involved in the dyeing process. And therefore, anything that promotes growth of plants is Zoreya. The Rambam in the 8th paragraph of Shabbos writes, HaZoreya kol shu chayiv. That anyone who plants anything, even just a little bit, there's no shear to the malacha, even a tiny amount, is chayiv. Hazomer si ilan kadesh yitzmach hareze me'ein zareya. If you prune a tree to promote further growth, that's also zareya. Hamashket tzmachin v'ilanos b'shabbos hareze toldas zareya. To water is a told of zareya. Toldas d'oraisa or d'rabanan. Daraisa, it's just as bad. L'mayinaf kamina between a tolda and an av, so you have to learn the very first daf of Maseches Bavakama, right? Toldos and avos, toldos and kiyotziban, toldos and lav kiyotziban. We have toldos and avos in Nezikin, we have toldos and avos in Shabbos, and we have toldos and avos in Tuma. So by Shabbos, toldos sehen kiyotziban. The toldos just like the av. The only enough kamina to know whether something's a tolda or an av is that if you do an av and it's tolda, you're only chayiv once. You're not chayiv multiple karbanos. But if you do a tolda, you chayiv skila the same way you do if you do an av. So being a tolda of zareya doesn't make it any less severe. It's a very severe prohibition. Magen Avraham writes, beyond what the Rambam says. Rambam says it's a malacha of zareya. Magen Avraham says that Rov Rishonim hold that it's not only zareya, it's also choresh. It's also choresh. Ooh, big nafkamina between zareya and choresh. Nafkamina would be, what if, let's say, it was just sukkahs, right? So your sukkah typically is outdoors. I think by conservative Jews, they sometimes build the sukkah indoors. I remember walking down the street of Manhattan, peeking into the window of a conservative synagogue and seeing a sukkah inside. Climate controlled, everything like that, on the bottom floor, built in the basement. Rav Shacht always tells a story that when he was a little boy growing up in Philadelphia, that the local conservative rabbi had retired, and they hired a new conservative rabbi who wasn't as frum as the old conservative rabbi. And the chazan in the conservative shul really had it in for the new rabbi. He did not like him at all. So the chazan in the conservative shul went to Rav Melech Shechter, Zichron Levracha, Rav Shechter's father, and he said, let me ask you a shaila, Rav Shechter. If a guy builds a sukkah, is it kosher? They had a guy build a sukkah in the shul. They had a guy build a sukkah. So Rav Melech Shechter said, wait a second. Isn't your sukkah built inside the shul anyway, over the bima, like in the shul? He said, yeah, forget about that, though. But what if a guy built it? I mean, because that's the way the old rabbi did it, too. It's just that the new rabbi instituted that the guy builds the sukkah. So he said, yeah, sukkah's gan v'chus kasher. That's it's finished in the Gemara, that sukkah's gan v'chus kasher. So he wasn't happy. But we typically build the sukkah outdoors, and washing is sometimes annoying, right? You got to go inside to wash. My wife came up with this idea, so we have this giant thing that has a spout on it. I guess if to make lemonade or something. In my house, it's to make lemonade. I assume in other people's homes, they would have something for more adult beverages, you know, for parties and the like. So we have this thing. My wife filled it up with water. I schlepped it outside, and we made a washing station outside. Ooh, washing station outside. Where's all the water going to go? So my wife took giant glass bowls and put them next to the thing, you know, like they do in hotels sometimes. Someone told me once they were at a hotel program in Pesach, and they had two bowls, one to take the water from and the other to wash the water into, and they were labeled as used and unused. And then as soon as one filled up and the other one emptied out, the person from the hotel came and just flipped the signs. So problems that can come up at hotels. So we had a glass bowl that everyone was pouring the water into. So okay, then everyone went home, and I had these glass bowls, and I needed to empty out the water. What should I do? So I could pour the water, can't pour the water on the grass, right? That's obviously a violation of Zaraya. I can pour the water on concrete, even if it will slowly roll toward the glass. That's only a grama. But what about pouring the water on dirt? There's nothing planted there. So if you hold that it's only Zaraya, so there's no Zaraya, it's dirt. But if you hold that it's Choresh, there definitely is Choresh by dirt. So we have enough concrete. We just poured concrete in our backyard to build the sukkah, and so we had enough concrete. I was safe anyway. I think I brought it inside anyway to the sink. But okay, so it is a malacha to water the grass. It's a malacha of Zaraya. It may be a malacha of Choresh as well. It's interesting when it comes to the malacha of Zaraya, the most famous machlokas, I think, in Achronim about the malacha of Zaraya is what happens if you plant something and then a second later you rip it out of the ground. Did you violate Zaraya? Right, imagine you want to light a candle in order to light up your house, so you light the candle, and then you blow it out right away, and you didn't use the light at all. Did you violate Mavir? Absolutely, right? What if you want to cook something? So you take a pot of water, you put it on the stovetop, and then immediately remove it from the stove before it even gets hot. Did you violate Bishul? No. What about Zaraya? Right? Do you violate Zaraya just by putting the seeds in the ground? Or does it actually have to germinate and actually have to produce something, have to take root? So that is a machlokas between the Rashash and the Minchas Chinuch, whether Zaraya is a Totsa'a-oriented malacha or a Maisa-oriented malacha. But be that as it may, watering the lawn is, when there is grass there, it's promoting the growth of the grass, and it's definitely Zaraya. Good, so what's the Tzad Heter over here? L'chora, this guy wants to turn on, he wants to have the guy, the non-Jew, turn on the sprinklers to chase away the teenagers that are hanging out on his lawn. What's the Tzad Heter? He's turning on sprinklers, obviously going to be watering the grass. Is it a grama? Why is it a grama? It's directly turning on the sprinklers. La frushe meisura. Ooh. He's going to stop all the kids from doing averos that they were otherwise doing. Or more likely, force them to find a new place to do all the averos that they were otherwise doing. Okay. No, what are the svaras of you? So first of all, what is this exactly? He's not watering his lawn. He's not interested in watering his lawn. It's the end of October. People shut off their sprinklers already in the New York area at the end of October. We don't live in Florida, right? There's no, it's getting cold already. There's no more grass that you're expecting to grow at this point. You could still get a little more out of it, a little more green grass, but it's not something that he's particularly interested in doing. In watering his lawn, what's he interested in doing? He's interested in watering the children, right? But and mimela the grass will be watered. What's that? How do we classify that in halacha? Segresha, right? Meaning he's trying to spritz water on the teenagers, but it's also hitting the grass, and he knows it's going to hit the grass because it's a sprinkler system. So that's a psikresha, and it's probably a psikresha denichale, because it is somewhat beneficial to have his grass watered. So that would be psikresha, or is it? Maybe it's a malach shein tzrich legufa. What's the definition of malach shein tzrich legufa? I dig a hole, but not because I want the hole, but because I want the dirt. Meaning I do the exact pu'ula of the malacha, the exact action of the malacha, but for a different purpose. So what's the guy doing over here? He's doing the exact action of watering. He waters his grass by doing this exact same thing, pushing a button on the thing and turning on the sprinklers. Except normally it's with the intention of watering the grass. Now it's with the intention of chasing away the kids. So is that a psikresha or is that a melacha she'in tzrich legufa? So it's helpful, I think, to first define both of those terms a little more clearly and then see which category this fits into. So psik resha is, you know, the phrase comes from cutting off the head, and if you cut the head off of an animal, so it's of course going to die. It's inevitable. So even though there's machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, if one is if a davar shenu miskavin is asur of mutter, and we pass like Rabbi Shimon that a davar shenu miskavin is mutter, that when there's an unintended consequence that is a malacha, that results from you doing something that's not a malacha, we pass on Rabbi Shimon that it's mutter, but mutter Rabbi Shimon psik resha v'lo yamas. Rabbi Shimon is mutter that if it's going to be a psik resha, it's going to be asur. It's interesting, the Chayyadim and Klal Tes, based on Rishonim, gives the example of a psik resha of washing hands, that you're washing your hands over grass. What am I doing? I'm washing my hands. Elamai, the water is hitting the grass because I'm doing it right over the grass. That's a psik resha. It's an unintended consequence. I'm not trying to wash the grass. I'm trying to wash my hands. I'm not trying to water the grass. And nevertheless, it's definitely going to happen. So psik resha is asr. It's asr midaraisa when it's a psik resha denichalei. It's an isr daraisa. What exactly is a malacha shein srichel gufa? So malacha shein srichel gufa, like we said, classic example, you dig a hole, but not because you want the hole, but because you want the dirt. So what's the difference between them? Let's put it this way. The way Rabbi Ribiat puts it, he says, you blow out a candle, right? Let's say you have a candle lit, you blow out the candle. Now, in the Mishkan, why would they do mechabe? Why would they extinguish something? What was the purpose of the malacha? They wanted the coal, right? They wanted the charcoal. So, if you blow out a candle just because you want it to be dark in the room, it's light, you want it to be dark. What do we call that? Melach Shein Tzurich L'Gufa, right? And Melach Shein Tzurich L'Gufa is also Midrabanan, a very serious issue, Midrabanan, yeah? What if you have a candle there and you open the door to your house with force? So, creates the swinging of the door makes a gust and the candle goes out. What do we call that? You could have predicted it was going to go out. That's a psik resha. What's the difference? Why is that a psik resha and not a melach shein srichel? And psik resha, if it's lo nichalei, according to some rishonim, the aruch, it's mutter. And if it's nichalei, it's daraisa. So it's totally different than melach shein srichel gufa. What's the difference? So the classical achronim, the Kesef Mishnah elaborates on this in the first part of Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Zayin, says that the difference is very simple. Psik resha is that you didn't even try to do the pu'ulas ha-malacha. You didn't try to do the action that is the malacha. You were doing a different action, and the malacha resulted. Malacha shein srich l'gufa, you were trying to do the very action that is the malacha. You just had something else in your head when you were doing it. Digging a hole is the very act of choresh. It's just that the purpose of digging the hole in the Mishkan was for the hole. The purpose of digging the hole in your mind is for the dirt. But it's the very pu'ula samalacha. Washing hands is not the pu'ula samalacha of Zoraya. Washing hands is just something you happen to be doing. And you know that it's going to water the grass. The pu'ula is an entirely different pu'ula. And therefore, it turns out a little bit funny. We're more machmir by a psik resha denichalei, where you're not even doing the pu'ula samalacha, than we are by a melach shein srich l'gufa, where you're doing the very act of the malacha. It seems a little bit strange, no? When I'm doing the actual malacha, I just have something a little bit different in my head going on. That's only asa midrabanan. But if I'm not even doing the pu'ula samalacha, I'm just washing my hands over the grass. Not the kavana, not the pu'ula, no, nothing. And that's the meaning of daraisa. So the way the Achronim explainer, Rav Elchanan in Ksuvas, explains in Kavod Shurim, he has two possible ways to understand psik resha. One of them is, we'll just stick with this one, is that what psik resha does is that since you are fully aware that it is an absolute certainty that the malacha is going to result from what you're doing, you can't say you're not having kavana for that result. Meaning that yediyah equals kavana. Absolute knowledge that it's going to happen is the equivalent of kavana for it to happen. So it's not that, oh, malach shein srich l'gufa is the pu'ula without the kavana, and psik resha is no pu'ula, no kavana. No, psik resha is no pu'ula, but yes kavana. Because knowledge that it's going to happen is the same as kavana for it to happen. And that's how Rav Chanan explains the shita of the Aruch. Psikreshe de lo nichalei is mutter, because don't tell me I'm having kavana for something that I specifically don't want. You can't say that I'm having kavana specifically for something that I don't want, that's lo nichalei. Psikreshe de lo ichbat lei, that I don't care about? Yeah, that you could tell me I'm having kavana for. But lo nichalei, maybe you can't. So lo ichbat lei wouldn't fit, according to this. We assume lo ichbat is the same as lo nichalei. But okay, that's the difference between. So what's this? You're watering the children to get them off the grass. So what's this? Is this a melach shein shvich legufa? Or is this psikreshin? So on the one hand, what was the classic example of psikreshin? Washing your hands over grass. That seems very, very similar to this, no? You're pouring water on people over grass. So from that perspective, it would seem very much that it's psikreshin. But on the other hand, if you turn on sprinklers, that's pretty much synonymous with watering the lawn. See, washing hands is a different action. That does not necessarily mean I'm watering the lawn. I just happen to be doing it over the lawn, that turns it into psikreshe. But washing hands is not a pu'ula of the malacha of Zareya. Turning on your sprinklers is the way you, every time you've done Zareya in your life, that's how you've done it. By turning on your sprinklers. So that it could be argued that that it's considered that you're having kavanah for the pu'ula without kavanah for the totsa'a. And therefore it might be melach shein shvich legufa. Still, I would think that this is not a melach shein shvich legufa, that this would qualify as a psik reshe. Meaning even hearing that argument, I still think this would qualify as a psik reshe. Okay, so now that let's assume that I'm correct for a moment, that it's a psik reshe. Can you ask a guy to do it for you? Are you allowed to ask a guy to do something that's only psikreshe? So there is a Ramah in Simuration in Gimel Sifhei. The Ramah talks about the following case. You don't have hot soup for Shabbos or hot challah for Shabbos. Everything's cold. So what do? Ramah says, the minig is sha'enam Yehudim, you get the non-Jew, to be motzi akaderos minatanurim shemat minim behen. They take the chalent pot from the oven that's no longer lit, and therefore it's just insulating, but it's not keeping it hot enough. The non-Jew takes that pot, umoshivin osan etzel tanur beis hachorev, and they put it next to the tanur beis hachorev. You know what tanur beis hachorev is? The boiler. What does a boiler do? It heats up the entire house. It's not meant to cook. It's not meant to heat up your chalent. It's meant to heat up the entire house. And then umeva'eres hashivcha achar kachatan rahu, and then the shivcha will come and light the boiler to keep the house warm, and through that your food will be warmed up, says Rama. So why are you allowed to have the non-Jew heat up the house? Because kol chola meitzatzina, everyone is considered a chola when it comes to cold, and you can imagine the Rama living in Poland, it got cold in Poland. So yeah, amir la'akum for chola is mutter. Okay, good. So they're allowed to heat up the house, but heating up your food, it's heating up your food. So says Magen Avraham, yeah, but that's only psikreshin. They're really heating up your house. It's just an inevitable result is that they're heating up your food, and a psikreshin is mutter. Amir la'akum and a psikreshin is mutter. Rav Moshe paskins this way explicitly in Aruchayim Chelik Beis Samaches that lichatchila. Amir la'akum and psikreshe is mutter. The Mishnah Brura sounds that he's only comfortable if it's psikreshe de lo nichale, but b'shas of chak, you could be so mech even for psikreshe de nichale that amir la'akum is mutter. So we have this Ramah that amir la'akum and psikreshe de nichale is mutter. So where would that leave us with turning on the sprinklers? Mutter, right? It's amir la'akum and psikreshe de nichale. However, the Gra disagrees with this understanding of the minhag of the Ramah. He says, you know why they were allowed to do that? It was a double drabana. First of all, it was it's amir la'akum, and the amir la'akum was only to warm up already cooked food. So only when something is a double drabana, only then is it going to be mutter. And the Gra says, therefore, normally Amir la'akum and a psik reshe is not going to be good enough unless it's a psuk reisha delo nichala. You can only do amir lakam psuk reisha delo nichala. So according to the Gra, can you ask the guy to turn on your sprinklers? L'chora not. L'chora, that's a psuk reisha nichala even at the end of October. There's still some grass there. You don't want it to dry out. You could still have a few sunny days left. Right? So l'chora not. Then there's a third approach, which is Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Shulchan Aruch HaRav explains that the heter of Amir La'akum by Psik Reshe is a little bit different. He says, the whole Isra of Amir La'akum, and this is making a major assumption, is that the guy is your shliach to do what you're sending him to do. The guy is not a lamdan, right? You're sending him to do X, but Malacha Y is going to result when he does X. He's doing his shlichus. The connection to you is through that shlichus. So if you ask the guy, go wash your hands, right? And he washes his hands over grass, his shlichus was to wash his hands. The fact that it's over grass, that's not part of his shlichus, and there, even though that's going to happen, that part doesn't relate back to you. He's assuming that the Yisra of Amir Lakam, like Rashi writes in one place in Shas, is yesh shlichus l'dvar aveiru l'chumra. That we assume that you can make a guy a shliach l'dvar aveiru l'chumra. So according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, what are you doing? You're sending him to water the children. And he's psik reisha, it also happens to be watering the grass. That part doesn't connect back to you. That's not part of his shlichus. Unless you said, do me a favor, turn on my sprinklers. What does a guy think when you say turn on my sprinklers? He's watering the grass. He's not thinking about watering the children. He doesn't know why you would want to water children. Right? He's watering the grass. In which case, that is the shlichus. So according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, l'chora, what you would have to do in order to make this mutter?
Tell him
what you want. Right? Tell him, spritz those children with sprinkler water. And then, the fact that it hits the grass is not part of his shlichus, and mela, that might be mutter. Another sniff laheter over here is that l'tzorich mitzvah derabim, that's what you were saying before, l'tzorich mitzvah derabim, you're also allowed to do a amir la'akum. Balitur holds you're allowed to do a amir la'akum l'tzorich any mitzvah. The Ramah quotes it and rejects it, says we don't hold that way. But for a mitzvah derabim, Mishra Brura is willing to be makel. Most commonly, Mishra Brura says, mutar lomar le'yehudi l'sakin ha'eruv sh'niskalkel b'shabbos. The Eruv got messed up on Shabbos, so you could ask an Eina Yehudi to fix it, because it's a michshol of Rabbin that you're saving. So if there's a michshol de Rabbin, there's a massive crowd of people, and you can stop that from happening, they're doing bad things, they're doing not such nice things, so maybe there's a tzad to be makel. But that makes the assumption that they're going to say, oh, there's a sprinkler here, that's it, let's just call it an early night. Good night, everybody, right?
And that's somewhere else.
But
he just moves them,
right, more likely is that they'll just go to the next neighbor, right? So that's a problem. Rav Vadi, by the way, quotes a very impressive list of achronim. We're also makel l'tzorich mitzvah derabim. That seems to be something that we are comfortable with, even though there's Nedv Yehuda. Nedv Yehuda in Madura Kama or Chaim Sim Lam Gimel is asked about having a guy light a candle for Ni'ila. All the candles went out by the time it came to Ni'ila, so having a guy light the candles for Ni'ila. He says, on Yom Kadosh Kazeh, you're going to be somich on a Bali Iter that we rejected in the Ramah. How could on the Yom HaKadosh, how could you be somich on a Bali Iter? And he says, for what? To say a few piyutim? Who cares about the piyutim? Don't be somich on a Bali Iter just for some piyutim. He says, if it's going to be ma'akev the entire tefillah, okay, then that's a different story. So it sounds like Mikra Adini, he would hold the Tzorach Mitzvah drama. He just doesn't think piyutim is such a big mitzvah, right? So, but if it's the actual tefillah, then he's willing to be makel. What about just putting it on a timer? Meaning if you're planning ahead, right? Just put it on a timer. Put the sprinkler system on a timer. So this gets, 30 seconds. The 30-second, there's a Beferish Gemara that says that you could set up an irrigation system to start running on Erev Shabbos that will continue to run on Shabbos. Beferish Gemara. So says Rabbi Eider, good, you could put your sprinkler system on a timer. Comes along Rav Shechter, says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Why? So this is one of Rav Shechter's big shitas you have to know about. There's a beautiful sefer called, what's it called? Svarim V'Sofrim, I think. Rav Zevin wrote book reviews. which to have Rav Zevin write a book review. Rav Zevin was a Gaon Olam, and he wrote with a pretty sharp pen, you know. And when he wrote a book, he wrote scathing reviews sometimes of different books. So they never republished it. I bought my copies of Soap from the Storm for like $50 a piece, used on some website or something. But he wrote a review of a found manuscript of the Rambam's Perush HaMasechta Shabbos. And in that Rambam's Perush HaMasechta Shabbos, he explains, the Rambam quotes Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi essentially says that any time you set up a system before Shabbos, that runs where the Malacha runs into Shabbos, if the Malacha started before Shabbos, the Malacha actually started happening before Shabbos, that's mutter. But if the Malacha didn't even start before Shabbos, it only began happening on Shabbos, even though you set up the system before Shabbos, aser. So Rav Shechter often likes to quote that. He thinks maybe we should be choshesh for that. And therefore, the irrigation system that the Gemara was talking about, it already started watering the grass on Erev Shabbos. But our sprinkler system is put on a timer, it's only going to start on Shabbos. I remember I asked Rav Shechter about those picture frames that, you know, rotate the pictures, and he thought it was a problem. So I said, no, but it's rotating the same pictures. It started before Shabbos. It's not a new ksiva. He said, but yeah, but it's rotating out new pictures. I don't know. I thought like I maybe convinced him, but I think he was just sick of arguing with me. But so if that's the case, it would really, Rybelski thought you could set it on a timer, provided that you're not in an area where a lot of Jews are going to see, because this is Zilzal Shabbos for everybody to see. I think nowadays everyone knows the sprinkler systems generally are on timers. Most often you're not turning them on manually. But bottom line is, we should all be mechanech our children not to only do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim over the course of some sort of one of the other. As far as the other shaila, the dateline shaila, what you have to really figure out is which way you're going to pass on the dateline. Rav Shechter often says to follow the majority of the three shitos, which would mean that Hawaii's Saturday is in fact Shabbos. But even better than following the majority of the three shittos is avoiding the shaila entirely. I always told my talmidim, don't go to Hawaii, if you have to for business. If you don't have to, why would you choose to go there? So one talmid once said, the wow factor. There's no such thing. There's no such musug in Yiddishkeit called the wow factor. There's no. What? Marav Masech is fine. You can see Marav Masech. I told him Sedona, Arizona. The mountains are red. It's the most gorgeous place. You want to stay in America and see? It's beautiful. You don't have to go to Hawaii for the wow factor. And some post Gemara Machmir that you should, maybe you don't have to keep full Shabbos, but you have to keep the Doraisas of Shabbos. On the other day, meaning on the day on Friday, right? So you keep the Doraisas. The problem with that psak, Rami always had with that psak, is that it's good to tell someone to do that. But in order to know what's a Doraisa, what's a Drabban, you have to be Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And guess what? Rabbi Akiva Eiger doesn't go to Hawaii. So it's not like a very practical psak necessarily to figure out. But over here, there's a Shalom Bayis issue that has to be dealt with. There's a Hefsid Mamon issue because he already bought the tickets. So you have to figure out the Matzias and all of that. And we would have elaborated more had we had more time. I apologize for going over time. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.